Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Leon.
Yo, how you doing tonight,
brother? How you doing, bro? How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man.
Your phone sounding a little weak over there. What's going on?
See, it's still weak, brother.
Yeah, I don't know if it's your phone or if it's something, but it's like going in and out.
Really?
All right, you good now? Whatever you just did, keep doing that.
Okay, now you had a virus.
I blame everything on the COVID-19 these days.
COVID-19.
Please pull me over for speeding. I said, hey, man, that's virus. I'm telling you, buddy. You had to let me go.
I'll tell you now.
Oh, man,
like,
you sound
North Carolina, not too bad right now. I mean, there's and only two deaths, but who knows what that really means, right?
Yeah, the challenge is, Leon, nobody knows who has it. That's the thing.
And that's the problem right there.
If you did a test, now I'm telling you, just the perfect scenario. Of course, the perfect scenario, you wouldn't have this issue at all, but if everybody could take a test tomorrow, we can take everybody who's got it and stick them over there. Everybody else can go on about their business and make some money. But because we don't know,
right,
we got to treat everybody like they have it.
That's true. If you guys out there who are not treating everybody like you have it in yourself, are making a mess. You're messing up.
Was that Leon?
Hear me.
Hey, man, your phone is... You still going in and out bad. And can you hear me? Am I going in and out? Am I good?
I hear you perfectly well, sir. That's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do to solve that problem. I hope.
You got clear. You got clear all of a sudden.
Got clear again?
Yeah. But I can't. Okay. Every time I compliment you, you go back to your old ways. Typical man.
Huh?
Typical man,
man. Exactly. If I go out, man, just let me know and I'll just come in. Right. Let me speak it on there. And I want to let everybody know, radio, into
Leon.
Talking. And, yeah.
Can't even know. We don't know what you're saying. It's that bad. It's that bad. What if you call out and call back? Or whatever, however you connect it. Try a different way. This way is not working. I just can't hear you. I can't even tell what you're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Brothers for Real. I have Leon on the phone. He's going to try a different approach here. I think that's him coming back on his other line. Now he's got two lines open. That's why I hear the echo.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you can hang up that other one because I got an echo. No, the echo is because you have two lines open.
Yeah, I'm going to end
okay,
one of them. I think I just ended one of them.
Yeah, you did. You're good now. I hear you now. Clear the bell.
God is good.
Amen. All the time.
Yeah, man. It's like we were getting ready to tell everybody to listen to the Brothers for Real radio show. We would like for you to call in and talk to us. Of course, we like talking to ourselves. But every now and then, we would like to hear from you, too. Isn't that right, Robert?
Every now and then, I got Lord help me. Every now and then. I couldn't get past every now and then. What do you say after that?
That was kind of like a charge, wasn't it?
Yeah, he charged the key. I don't know what they were saying.
The Lord to help me every night. Revival there, brother.
Man, Petey. Remember Petey Church and McLean Grove? God,
Lord Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Every night. Mr. Dumas and Grandpa Ants.
Oh, man, Mr. Dumas. That's where I got my religion, Leon. Mr. Dumas, I went up there at PD.
I remember
on the morning.
They were on your back. They were not going to get off your back until you got up with religion.
I was going to get, like I said, I was going to save myself one way or the other. I was going to be saved. I'm going to be saved by the Holy Spirit. Or saved by knocking these men off my back. But I'm going to be saved out of here one way or the other.
Well, they rode you, man. They had to ride you about 30 minutes, bro.
I was always
went in overtime on you, man.
Well, I had to make a conscious decision here. Look now, guys. I understand what we're trying to do here. But I'm just not feeling it right now. But my back hurting. I got to get y'all off me. So I thought
crying. They're not going to let you up, man.
No, they gonna get me up that one way or the other. That junk was doing trampoline.
They were riding you, man. They rode you. I remember I was there that night.
Like a trampoline. He was doing backflips, man. I'm telling you. I like, bro, Dumas. Yeah, that's what he's doing, backflips on my young back. Jesus, get into him.
One thing you had to do, man, was shout, though. I don't know why you're doing a little stubborn now. The only thing you had to do is shout, bro.
I was waiting on the spirit.
That's all they wanted. That's all they wanted.
But, Leon, I'm waiting on the spirit, on the real. I'm saying that spirit got to come on now. My back hurting. So,
right,
I said, well,
that's all they wanted. You to shout. They wanted to see you get it.
I said, well, maybe the spirit is in your heart. It's not necessarily something going to come actually get in me. I said, all right, it's in me. Let me jump up out of here. So I thought I caught me some tears and hopped on up, and it was over, man. They thought giving me some water and some put towel around me and gave me the next date for the baptism. I was saved, Jack. Been saved ever since.
They got you, man. Let me tell you, this. They got you, though. But like I say, you were kind of really, really stubborn that night. I didn't get it, man. We were just really ready to get on out of there and go home, man.
But Leon, nobody gave.
We're ready to go home and get into that box they prepared for Daddy to take home.
They had a nice shoe. They had a nice shoe box with some cake, some chicken. And they didn't really put potato salad in the box. You got to eat potato salad where it is, cause you know potato salad.
Yeah,
you
they
ain't
put potato salad in the box.
No, you had
they
to
had some chicken. One time, man, check this out, man. You're not gonna believe this. One time, they got I don't know whose church it is, or I don't remember which church it came from. But one time I was eating something, and I thought it was liver, and I asked Dad what it was, and he said it was cow tongue.
Oh, no. That ain't holy. That ain't holy. Uh-oh, no.
I said, Daddy, and you knew.
So your first tongue you got was that the tongue of a cow.
Cow tongue, brother.
Hey, was it good, though?
Who does that?
Did it taste like
this? It actually did. I was, and that's what really threw me off.
You know, Leon, I hate to say it, man.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I want some cow tongue. Because you said it tastes like liver.
Yeah, liver pretty good, man. I quit eating liver, too, for some reason, but.
I ain't had liver in a long time, but if you said it tastes like cow tongue, now that's probably something you can find in this virus. I'm sure everybody hadn't bought up all the cow tongues. Corona did not take all the cow tongues. That's probably the only thing on the shelf right now.
Some of that on the shelf, brother.
They probably got that in bulk. Trust me. It's stacked up in your freezer. You never go hungry again.
Trust me. Check this out, man. I talked to D'Angelo a while ago, my nephew.
Get out of here.
Yeah, he's over in Oklahoma. In,
Oklahoma.
He said he's going to call in, man. I talked to him. He said he would try to call in tonight. I told him it would be very nice to hear from him, of course. He said school is out for the year over there. You know, school is out till May 15th or something like that here. That would leave only a week. Of school left in the regular school year. Now, whether they would extend it or not.
So, what? They're just letting people come back to clean out their lockers. Is that it?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know why they didn't just say it was going to be gone for the year. This was worrying me, man, and concerning me, and I'm working in my head on what I can do, and I haven't come up with anything yet, but once I do, of course, I'll try to do my service to the community. But I'm trying to figure out what to do with all these young folks in this out of home, man. I mean, I don't know. I'm be honest with you, I haven't been in touch with the school system and how their kids are even doing their homework or they're getting assignments to go home. I do understand they were delivering packets to them for them to do some type of studying at the home at some point, but how they're keeping up with it, how they're reporting it, probably, some kind of online system they're doing. But once you think about it, this thing came kind of suddenly, and if you didn't already have an online system in place, you kind of got caught in the dark, right?
Leon, you are exactly right. My company right now, we're extremely busy because companies were really caught off guard. Some didn't have online payment systems. Some didn't have all their forms online. Some didn't have meeting capabilities such as Zoom and Blackboard and any meeting and conference call, all these different platforms that are out here. Some had used it or they'd heard of it, but they never thought it was an integral part of their own operation. And many have found out the hard way that they can't get in touch with people. They can't communicate with people because the telephone does not serve every need, nor does internet, nor does email. Sometimes you got to see a person. Sometimes you got to meet more than one person at once. Sometimes you got to share documents. Sometimes you got to exchange money and currency. And so some of those things are a little more difficult doing over the telephone. So people said, many people thought, as long as I have a phone, I'm connected. Yes, but no. There's some things you just can't do over the phone. So we've had to, in the last week or so, I have a stack over it. Matter of fact, I just got off the phone training one of my employees on transferring somebody's website to it was old antiquated website. We're updating their website. But that's been our MO. We just shut in the state of Maryland, the governor, Larry Hogan, he just passed a directive that we're shutting everything. I think Monday at 5 o'clock, he shut down all non-essential businesses. He just closed up, go home, period. And so, of course, my company was, the industry that I'm in was actually one of the essential businesses. That's information technology, hosting, web services, internet. So we're actually an essential part of the, I guess, the economy infrastructure to keep things moving. And it has been extremely busy. I'm not complaining, but some people are going to have to wait because I can't hire folks fast enough and train them. It's everybody talks about if you have these, go out and get a degree in technology, but you got to have some experience. So you can't just pull green people off the street and say, look, start building these websites and setting up these systems. You have to bring in people who actually know what they're doing. And those folks are busy too, because you know what I mean? So I've been training people as fast as I can, but it's really been a challenge, and that's what the school systems are going through. I went into at my college where I teach at Prince George's Community College, where I'm an adjunct professor. They mandated that we all now go learn how to use Blackboard, which is a platform for doing online instruction. It's very popular in one of most school systems. But it wasn't a requirement because there were some people that taught Blackboard. It was usually you taught one or the other. It wasn't like this co-mingling. And so the folks that were doing Blackboard, of course, they've been doing it all along. Then the ones like myself, who actually teach in front of a classroom, they told us that, look, you're going to learn Blackboard by the end of March, or you're just not going to teach when we open classes back up in April, hopefully. And so they've gone through that. And so they put this lady in charge of teaching us last night. This lady didn't know Jack. I'm teaching her. She didn't know anything. I'm sorry. She kept saying the whole class, the entire time she was on the class, I hate to say it, but my common thing is I don't know. I've never done that because I just teach classes every now and then. So I'm not really an instructor in this. So you're seeing that, Leon, across the board, school systems are struggling. Now, I'm just talking about my little world where I'm dealing with my little classrooms and my clients. But imagine a school system with 100,000 kids or 50,000 kids, 20,000 kids. Can you imagine the magnitude of that task? All those instructors, all of those students. And the other thing that's come out of this, Leon, and people knew this all along, but it has been accentuated, is that kids go to school for more than just to learn. It's their socialization. In many cases, it's their health care. It's their meals, their activities, their exercise, just life. So everybody wants to focus on, and I'm sure because of resources, that's all they can focus on, the fact that they're taking care of their skills, I mean, their learning, their education. But like you said, Leon, what are you going to do with all these kids that need activity? They need something to do. They need food in many cases. They need health care. And they need socialization.
I can't imagine having that to just kind of happen to you all of a sudden. You know, and there's some of you expecting that you kind of got things planned out. We got grandma
right.
set up to do this. Aunt Sue set up to do this.
And you have camp.
And, you know, summer camps like we have all summer. We have, because we know we're going to have 30 or 40 or 50 in our summer camp this summer. And parents can
right.
depend on that kind of thing. But when you just say all
of a
sudden.
Can't do camp. Definitely can't do camp.
No. Can't do camp. If we
so
could do camp,
doing,
we do camp. We say, well, we go ahead and knock this camp out, do some camp work, you know. Can't do that.
Well, Leon, you're in the eye of the
man.
Storm with you're in the eye of the storm with your Holler Center. Your Holler Center is one of the foundational almost requirements of having something at that center is to have you gotta have mass. You gotta have more than 10 people usually. So
we like 30 or more.
Yeah, so what are you in the eye of this storm? What is Holler doing, and how does this affect the kids that you have to normally deal with through the Holler organizations? What's going on?
We're stuck. To be honest with you, we're stuck. Matter of fact, we tried to, local churches, Raymond Grove Baptist Church. I'd like to give them a good shout out for what they were trying to do. They were trying to pass out, you know, lunch bags. But, man.
Right.
It's even hard to do that. I tell them, you know, and they're a rural church, so they just actually use the center to distribute. But, you know, you got to get 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people to do that. You got, if you're trying to pass out 170-something bags.
Yeah.
So then, you just don't know what to do right now, man. So here's what like you say, to answer your question, what I'm trying to do is wait, like they say, wait on the Lord to see what we can do without making it worse.
Yeah,
you know, what we can do without transferring the virus to somebody. I mean, I have to treat myself like I have it. So if I'm out here passing out bags, I can be passing the germ around, you know. I can be transferring the disease.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. I mean, this is something I can't even imagine. I'm stuck.
This is definitely, this is so uncharted waters. These are such uncharted waters. I was looking at Leon, something like the jail system. Can you imagine that? You're in jail, you're in prison, and heaven forbid you have an outbreak of coronavirus in a prison. What in the heck are they going to do? Now, they have started, they started early release on, like in Prince George's County, our state's attorney, Aisha Braidboy. She and the state's attorneys of New York and of Chicago and a few other places, they've kind of come to a meeting of the mind that they're going to let certain people go. People who don't, who not violent felons, people who can't make bail, people who are over a certain age. And I kept, you know, what I thought, first thing came to my mind, Leon, like, why the hell are these people in prison in the first place?
I was thinking the same thing, brother.
That's a flaw.
You got people in jail they can let go.
Why
you haven't been
in there? Yeah. That's just a glaring example of the injustice of the justice system. You got folks that's okay to let go, but you were holding them. Why did you let
them
go?
Yeah. Exactly. Like people they're holding in there because they can't make bail. It's simple stuff. Holding them in jail because they can't make bail.
I've had a problem with that, Leon, since I've been old enough to understand what jail and bail meant. Why lock up somebody for a petty crime because they can't come up with bail, and you let somebody go who committed the same crime because they can make bail. A greater crime. How in the world is that ever going to be considered justice? There's no way that can be called justice.
You know how naive I am, man. It took me a long time to realize that was actually going on. You know, like little petty crimes, people can't get out. $1,000 bond, they ain't got $100. They still laying in jail for months, weeks, months.
Laying rotting in jail over $100. And some joke out here done committed major crime, got deep pocket, he's got free. Lord have mercy. That's why this country had coronavirus right there. The Lord is working. He's saying, look, y'all, I'm going to expose you all for some of the problems you got going on this earth. And that's a big one right there, is being exposed.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, is something else, Leon. All of a sudden, Congress finds $2 trillion. But yet, they can't forgive student loans. They can't do reparations. They can't provide health care. But all of a sudden, this money magically appears.
And they're using this as another way to support, or what's the word I want to use here? Seed white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
In the pockets of people, you know, big business, big corporations. I was reading a headline here on the top of the Post website. Senate shocked, trillions in corrupt corporate handouts. And basically, mm-hmm. That's what we're going to be faced with. Then on down the line here, you see some Senate Republicans want lower unemployment payments. How loud is that, man?
See, in a just system, Leon, in a just system, some of the people that are running our country would be in prison. In a just
system,
they wouldn't be walking around here making laws. They'd be in prison themselves. In a just system. Now, we know we don't have a just system. That's why they're able to do what they do. But in a just system, some of these guys like Lindsey Graham, this guy Richard Burr of North Carolina, who was in this $1.6 million stock sale in 30 different transactions the day before, he's telling the population that everything is rosy and he's up selling off his stock, he and his buddies. In a just system, most of the guys on Capitol Hill would be in jail. Not making laws. They are breaking laws.
Speaking of Lindsey Graham, his quote is, this bill pays you more not to work than if you are working.
Yeah, tell your billionaire buddy that. Yeah, tell his billionaire buddy that. When he's saying that, believe me, he's not looking at the stockbrokers and the CEOs are getting $20 million a year who's not working. He's looking at some little joker that might get an extra $5 a week.
Exactly.
Extra $100 a month.
Senator Tim Scott says, we cannot encourage people to make more money in unemployment than they do with employment. Now, we know what they're saying is BS. We know that.
It's a distraction.
They're talking to poor people who are poor races. That's who they're talking to. They're feeding that in the heads of poor races.
Okay. And let's just say
another
there
poor
some
misguided minds. Huh?
Let's just say if there's some truth to that, and let's just say it accounted for $20 million or $100 million of this bill. There's going to be probably a billion or two going to these fat cats who's going to be giving themselves stock buybacks, golden parachutes, humongous salaries, bonuses, as soon as they can get the darn money in their pockets. that's probably going to be about 10 times the amount that these so-called folks that they say they're paying not to work might even encounter.
Yeah, we know this. We know this, and we just wish they could, more people had better sense than to believe this, to fall for this. And why we keep electing guys like this behooves me.
Well,
I just don't get it.
I'll tell you what it goes back to, Leon. Now I have to get on my historian head again.
Back in 1980, Ronald Reagan, besides being supporter of the apartheid system in South Africa, that's what he was most known for by most people who were conscious and awake. But he was also in power when we got rid of the Fairness Doctrine. And the Fairness Doctrine basically said, if I bring on a rabid conservative on my show, I've got to bring on a liberal to balance out what you're about to hear. And when the racists and the white supremacists understood that they were losing population, they knew they had to counter it with something other than having more kids. So they knew they had to control the message in the media, and they had to suppress the vote. And that's the only way to remain in power. And that is why today we have this mess that we have. They control the media, and they suppress the vote. It's not you and I voting them in. It's not even people that, it's not even rational and conscious white people who are voting them in. It's the percentage of the population that they're able to deceive and con. That's who's voting them in through this control of the media, through Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Rush Limbaugh.
All of who should be locked up.
These guys are mouthpieces. And like you say, in a just system, these guys would not only not be on air, they'd be in a prison somewhere for inciting discord and sowing mistruths. Treason. What they're doing is nothing short of treasonous.
Hey, Robert, let's take a music break right quick, man. I need to
I'm all with you on that,
do something right quick. Take a couple of minutes break.
Got it, bro.
Outrageous. I try not to watch the news anymore than I have to, but every now and then I go over there just to read the ticker tapes. And I hear it saying Trump vowed to immediately sign coronavirus stimulus bill as it's held up in the Senate over debate on jobless benefits. Now that's the one that shouldn't require much debate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever they come up with, just as much as they can come up with in it, they ought to just do it. That's all the mess they're getting ready to do. We know they're going to do for these corporations.
Yeah, man. That's loud, man.
Justin Amash, whoever he is. Here's what Justin Amash said. This bipartisan deal is a raw deal for the people. It does far too little for those who need the most help, while providing hundreds of billions in corporate welfare, massively growing government, inhibiting economic adaptation, and widening the gap between the rich and the poor, which is what this crowd tries every chance they can get to do that. They do that every chance they get to widen the gap. Now, Robert, $2 trillion is not a small drip in the bucket, brother.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's that Bernie Sanders kind of money he was talking about spending, getting rid of student loans and stuff. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, man. Miss Sister asked Trump during a news conference the other day. She said, well, if you want to go back to work next week, in the next couple of weeks, why do you need $2 trillion? To bail out. Of course, he didn't have a good answer to that. I'm surprised he didn't tell it was a nasty question. But
nasty questions. Give me a non-nasty question. That's a good point. Well, Trump is a master of kicking the can down the road. He would kick that can down the road all the way to November. He's going to say something is coming, then it doesn't come, it doesn't happen, right? Then he'll wave something else that's going to happen. Like, well, I'm going to open this government and everything by April. Of course, everybody get happy, and the stock market goes up. People say he's the best thing since sliced bread. He's the king. It doesn't happen. He blames the Democrat. Then he makes another promise. Something's going to happen by June. Virus will be gone by June. We'll have a cure, and everybody be tested. Oh, wow, he's the greatest, man. That's great. All right, yeah. So stock market goes up, his followers lionize him, they come around, it doesn't happen, blame the Democrats, foreigners, Mexicans, African countries,
Chinese.
Then he starts another, Chinese, then he'll make another promise. He's going to do that all the way to November. He's been doing it for the last 3 years. Just look, go back and look at his policies. He'll promise something like a wall, and it doesn't happen. He blame other people. Then he moves on to something else. But all he needs is that enthusiasm, hope that it might happen to keep his followers voting for him.
Right.
And if you do that enough times, next thing you know, it's November. And he's going to make a very big promise right before November. By November, January 1st, we're going to put a chicken in every pot. Everybody's going to have a brand new car, new set of clothes, a job for everybody. We're going to give you free stock. Everybody goes, oh, my God,
free,
this guy's a savior.
Free bullets for your guns.
Free bullets, free guns. Everything you ever thought about or ever wanted, I'm going to give it to you if I can just get back in the White House. And people are going to buy it. He's done that for 3 years. Just go back and look. Look at all the promises he's made that he has not kept. And he knows they're not going to keep them. Just like this Easter thing. Open up the government by Easter. He knows that's not going to happen, but it gives him that much more time to be liked. And then when it happens, doesn't make it. Hey, the Democrats, the Chinese, the Muslims, Mexicans did it. Democrats, their fault. Then let me find something else to say I'm going to do.
It's kind of tough, man. Well, what's the silver lining, man? What can we look forward to here out of this? I know Let me say this right here. This is what I know. I know people are. We're living in a the people on the ground down here be really kind and hopeful, and it's unfortunate that the leadership is not the same in this country, because we have so many people down here on the ground. When I say on the ground, I'm talking about people. Let me just talk about my Facebook friends for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that just had this Facebook birthday fundraiser,
right,
for Holla. Raised over $3,500 for that. You know, some people might say that's not a lot of money. That's right.
One, two, three.
That's right. In my opinion, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
For people to, in this uncertain times, to step forward and give their $10, $15, $20, $100 bills and my dear sweet cousin up in Durham, Angela Bethea, $645. Just giving, people giving, man. People.
Mm.
The people on the ground, Robert, the people have hope. You know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah.
People down here have,
yeah,
we have hope. When I say the people,
yeah,
on the ground, of course I'm talking about you. Everybody down, mm-hmm, here on the ground, that are not the people who's not up in the heads in the clouds and with all this big money, all this power and stuff they call power, or stuff they want us to perceive as power, which is nothing. People down on the ground have hope. And again, I'll say it's unfortunate that the leadership that we're being bamboozled by such terrible leadership. But all that to say, that's going to be the change. The people on the ground that have the hope, the people on the ground that have the kind hearts, the people that on the ground that have the compassion. I mean, you can see it all over the world. All over the world, you see people with compassion, people reaching out, trying to help their neighbors and their friends. And that's what it's going to take to turn this thing around. While all that foolishness is going up in the clouds, and I'm telling you, know what I'm talking about, the clouds, I hope, like in the government, all that foolishness going on. They're spending all that money, blowing all that money, giving it all to the corporations while people down here on the ground suffering. That can't last long, man. You can tell how fragile this country is by what's going on now. Here's the president talking about sending people, putting people back out there, not prepared to do that. We're going to put the country back to work. He does not care whether you die from coronavirus or whatever. Go ahead,
Robert.
Some of his backers
actually believe this is one actually came out and articulated it, that he used himself as an example, but he was really not talking about himself, that he was really basically ready to throw himself on the grenade for the economy. He thinks old people basically should die for the good of the country. And he was using himself as an example, but he can't use himself as an example as a lieutenant governor of a state, because he has health care, he has guards if he needs them, he has a big house, he has, I'm sure, savings. But what about that person who's maybe in a rest home, or a person living with their children because they can't afford their own home? They come down with this disease and they're sitting there suffering. It's like somebody got a pillow over their face. This thing doesn't yet, it's not like in the movies where you just drop dead and just disappear. No, you suffer. People suffer before they die. A friend of this guy, one of my clients, his classmate, he called me today. He was very despondent over his classmate that just died from coronavirus. He said he just found out about it a week earlier, and he deteriorated in a week. Ended up dying in his home alone. He didn't have any family with him. He died by himself, and he was probably in the house a couple of days before they found him. And took him out. He was in his 60s. And so it's not this sanitized version of, hey, look, let's sacrifice for the country. Let's let old folks go ahead and die because He's saying I would do it. That's what he's saying. He's like, how many? That's what the lieutenant governor of Texas. He said, nobody asked me if I'm willing to sacrifice for the economy or for the good of the country. So he's basically trying to goad other people into thinking like him that, okay, look, I'm 60, I'm 70, so I've lived my life. Let's go ahead and open things back up so that the young people can live and I'll go ahead and die. Man, if death and life were so simple in black and white. No.
Well, why don't he just infect himself and die?
That's what I'm sure that most people, including myself, felt was the answer. Let's go ahead and just let him sacrifice for all those who don't feel the same way. Let's throw him on the grenade for everybody. But that's the kind of thinking we have out here. It's really very warped. It's a warped way of thinking. But what you said, Leon, I think is important, that I look at the silver lining in that I look back to Reconstruction when blacks first were liberated from the horrible institution of being enslaved. People came out. Many became sharecroppers. Some just went out here on their own, just not knowing what was going to be next. And somehow they found a way. They found a way to the point where they created Black Wall Street and Rosewood and Wilmington and places that were thriving economic centers, of course, for the racists to come back and burn them down. I mean, that's beside the point, but it's an important point. But the bigger point is that you give people, put their back against the wall and let them have to pool their resources and come together like they did after slavery. It's and we're about to see that. We're seeing that happening. Your holler was not an aberration. That's happening in pockets throughout this country where people are looking at each other and saying, that's my brother. That's my sister. That's not my enemy. I've been spoon-fed. I've been led to believe that person over there is not on my team. But now they're realizing who is really on their team. And this scares the... It scares the racists. It scares people who are trying to maintain control over power. They don't want that.
Right.
So they're nervous of what they're seeing happening. And so what are they going to do about it? Well, we'll take even more money and give out and fatten our pockets even more.
Exactly.
So there won't be anything left for them to take.
Tough, man.
But like I said, we don't get, I say don't, you and to anybody else, we can get a little disappointed and get discouraged, but we can't stop. We have to keep motivating and pushing and focusing our energies on the young, making sure that they understand that there is a future worth living and that a lot of it depends on them. And that's why we have to keep them motivated and thinking positive.
Yeah. I see, guys. You wonder what they're going to do with all that money. They haven't. They have so much already. And they just keep piling it on. You're just wondering what they're up to. That confuses me.
It puts you in a tough... I'll tell you something else too, Leon. I don't talk about it a lot, but it doesn't fit to the narrative. Because black business owners are in a very precarious situation, predicament. Because as a people, we are so looking out for the consumers, the little men, people that are like us, that sometimes we are speaking against our own interests as business owners. I was listening to a guy call into a talk show the other day. It wasn't my show, but I was listening to another show. The guy called in. He said, I think people should just, the government should just tell everybody to freeze in place. Don't pay anything until this thing is over. Don't pay anybody. Now, I'm thinking that that's somebody who is a consumer who is obviously not a business owner. Because when I hear that, I hear that. I hear myself not getting paid.
Exactly.
You want to say, Leon?
That's exactly what you're saying.
I have to get paid just like Verizon, just like GoDaddy, AOL, Amazon. As a business owner, when I hear that talk, as much as I can relate to what he's saying, and I can appreciate what he's saying, but that is the mindset, unfortunately, of many of the folks in our community, because that's the way we've been taught, is to always be the consumer and not the owner and the business owner. A business owner never going to say that. You hear me, Leon? I'm not going to
say
that.
No, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say it.
Yeah, that means nobody's paying me. Where am I going to get my money from if everybody stopped paying?
That's different right there.
Yeah, so
you have to be somebody that doesn't have a business or getting any kind of payments from anybody to say that.
Well, you know, Leon, it goes to another. I was part of this financial wellness workshop. It was a wellness workshop we did for a whole year last year. And one of the things I would tell folks, I said, you have to watch that mindset and that mentality. I said, how many of y'all here hate the first of the month? Hell, every hand in there went up. And I said, why do y'all hate the first of the month? We got to pay bills. I said, guess what? I don't hate the first of the month. You know why? Because people are paying me. I'm waiting on the first of the month.
Off,
but you know what, Leon? I was showing off, but I was exaggerating. Hell, I hate the first of the month, too, because I'm not where I need to be. I was trying to make a point that we should not buy into that mentality. It was just automatic. They didn't even have to think about it. Even the ones that were probably getting paid couldn't even
really. Yeah, they don't even need wait on the first of the month.
Yeah, it's just the mindset.
I don't have my bills set up on the first of the month. Most of mine are, I don't know when they get paid, most of them, but because they're on bank draft. Most of my stuff, if I didn't have it on bank draft, it wouldn't get paid. I'm that kind of brother. So most of my bills are on bank draft. I don't know when they get paid, most of them.
But you see how mindset can be so pervasive into a community?
I do.
Circumstances, history, what you've experienced personally, that you automatically dread the first of the month. And you could be a landlord getting paid. You could have a recurring income coming in. You could have stock dividends paying you on the first of the month. You might look at your balance sheet and realize that you actually come out ahead on the first of the month. But that's not the mindset or the thought process. So I'm thinking that when we have these kind of situations like the coronavirus, it shakes people into reality. You really have to get real. You have to look at the way you're living, how you're living. People are going to realize that they're spending money they didn't need to be spending. We don't need a virus to tell us that. We just need to wake up and shake out of this slumber of capitalism.
Like you, I hope a lot of people, including myself, can learn something from this. What you really didn't need to be doing anyway. A lot of stuff like, I see a lot of people going out to eat. I don't really like going out to eat that much, but I do it. But it's not the best way to go, really. Most of the food you buy out in those restaurants is not conscious of cleanliness for a large part. It's definitely not conscious of health, of healthy eating. So anyway, stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, I
hope we learn from it.
I heard an interesting saying on one of these videos that I'm on, they come across here. I try to not do that. Spend your whole day listening to videos people send you all day long. Every now and then I might catch one. But one, I was listening to this group talking about the financial state of Black America. And one guy made a very provocative statement. He said, Black people like to look like they have money more so than they like having money. we rather look like we have money than to actually have money. I like, let me digest that for a minute. And then another lady came behind him, and she said, I have a problem with the whole faking it till you make it concept. And then I read and grabbed my book, Played in Full. I actually have a passage in my book, Played in Full, that actually talks about, I've never been into that whole thing about fake it till you make it. As I'd rather take that time that I'm faking it and concentrate on making it. Why spend that time trying to fake it when you could actually be using that same time to actually make it?
I actually have a t-shirt that says, I refuse to go broke trying to prove to people that are broke that I'm not broke.
Hey, caller, 704, ending in 959. You got a comment for us?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey there. I'm on the line.
All right. I love the comment about the fake it till you make it thing. I think that's very, like, prevalent.
You ever heard people say that?
Yeah.
You ever heard people say that to you? You gonna fake it till you make it?
Hey, Robert. D'Lo, man. That's D'Angelo.
D'Angelo?
Yeah.
Hey, D'Angelo. Hey, what's up, D'Angelo?
What's up, boy?
God almighty.
D'Lo.
D'Lo, take your phone off mute, man. We can't hear you. You might have a phone like yours, man. When you put it against your face, you can't hear it.
You're in Oklahoma, man.
He's a long way from us.
I don't see him on the board, man. I got me a
time. I see him. I see 704 something.
But I'm here. My bad. I had phone difficulties.
Yeah, phone. Yes,
sound
you
like
do,
you're
sir.
In a tornado.
It's Oklahoma.
Right. Ain't that where Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz was?
That's
Oklahoma?
Kansas.
Kansas, okay. That's nearby.
I mean, it's all the same, basically.
Okay, out there in the plane.
The Wiz was on this morning, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Wiz was on this morning. I woke up in the middle of the morning. Well, you know, Wiz and Dorothy and Donna Ross.
It wasn't the Wiz.
It was the Wiz, man. It was the Wiz with Donna Ross and Dorothy.
Oh, man, Leon.
That was wrong.
That big lady, Eveline, singing No Bad News. Oh, man, I can hear that. I can listen to that all day.
Yeah, they big kind of, though. Scarecrow
hey,
kind of, bro.
What's happening out there in Kansas? I mean, Oklahoma there, D'Angelo. How y'all coping out there?
I mean, I think we're taking a much more relaxed approach than I would have like some scene. I mean, there's like articles saying like one of the top the seven states is aggressive about approaching this whole pandemic, which is, you know, unsettling to hear. But, you know, I think today officially they announced that they're ending school traditionally, so now they're moving to a more distance learning focus. So we're going to be teaching via line. I'm assuming they don't really know that we're, oh, that's new. So, and you know, the gyms are closed down, the malls are closed down, beauty supply shops are closed down, barbers have until today. Today's the last day barbers can actually get a haircut for the next 3 weeks. So it is rippling pretty quickly, but I think we're definitely.
Hey, D'Lo, do you have some clippers? Sound like you're in a hurricane somewhere. Are you outside?
Yeah, I said outside because my phone was not working inside, but no, I think we're good now, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
wicked witch around there somewhere blowing houses.
Corona, I guess, right?
Well, look, man, it's good to hear from you. Where you are? You say y'all the school is shut down for the year there?
Yeah, so the main thing is that they're not going to school, but quote unquote instruction must continue. So we'll figure out what that means in like a week and a half. So
okay.
So are you all doing any type of online instruction, or is this closed altogether?
Well, that is the premise, but I think I don't think they kept into consideration that, like, a huge, like, the district I work in, at least the school that maybe I work in, there's a very strong, like, free-reduced lunch population, just a strong population of those who are afflicted by poverty. And so, because, you know, we want to keep students learning and making sure they get what they need to make sure they're successful for the next academic year. But that requires them to have, like, access to internet, access to a device besides a phone to be able to do that stuff. And so it's one of those situations where they're like, I think it seems more of like we want to make sure that we look good and say that we're wanting to push for learning outside the school during this pandemic, but they may have failed to see that there are underlying issues, systematic issues, poverty-wise and stuff of that nature that will make their plans unfeasible or at least not able to be feasible for a huge population that our school district services.
Yeah, that's a tough.
So,
Dilo,
what grade in court
were you about, my bad? No, obviously that's tough. That sometimes school system have to make that decision because there are going to be some people that's going to fall through the net. But do you take the whole school system offline because you're going to miss, let's say, 10% of the ones that can't get online? That's a tough decision because you can't just make that 10% whole overnight. It takes time.
True.
Right. So I'm going to ask D'Lo, D'Angelo, what do you teach and what grade level?
I teach fourth grade in Oklahoma City. I teach everything. So I teach the math, the science, the social studies, the English language arts, and the spelling.
Wow. You have to be smart to do all that. Daggone it.
I heard one time you were teaching basketball, too. You were coaching basketball.
Oh, yes. I was.
That was funny right there.
Last year.
Are you the only teacher there? Are you the only teacher in that school?
Oh, no. Sometimes you think so, but no, I am not.
I heard you were the chef and the janitor and everything else, the principal.
You know, I do it all. You know, I mean, that's what I'm here for, right?
Yeah, that's right. All for the kids.
Come
right?
Out of there ready, son.
I'm serious.
Hey, Robert, he's gonna come out of there ready.
I'm telling you. Do or die. You doing it, Jack? You doing it, man? That's good stuff.
Well, one more question, D'Angelo. Big question. So I know you're a gym man. You're a man that goes to the gym a lot, man. They're shutting the gyms down. What you gonna do, man?
That's a good question. Cause you know, back in college, you know, you worried about the freshman 15, and now it's like we got to work with the Corona 15 because what do you do? Because I think going to the gym kind of puts you in a mindset where everyone else is working out, so I got to work out. And now it's much more of an intrinsic thing that you want to work out, you have to actually go do it yourself and like do some push-ups, go for a run, do some body workouts. And so I'll try to keep myself sane because, you know, the gym was where I went to go relax after the day. That's my holy place, if you will. And now I got some dumbbells, got a jump rope, got an ab wheel, I got legs to run, so I'll make it work. Somehow.
You're the man. Well, you said something that I didn't catch quite. You said when you're in college, you're worried about what? Thank you, Robert. That's a good one. That was a good clap. But D'Lo said when he was in college, he worried about did you say the freshman 15?
Oh, like, you know, it's kind of like the freshman 15, yeah. That is, you know, you worry about the first year, you know, you're like, oh, so much free food and stuff like that. And
oh,
you forget that
15 pounds.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes, it's kind of similar to like the Corona thing where you have while this is going on, I feel like people may start, you know, laxing the gym routine just because they got this thing around the house because, you know, it's quarantine life, so.
I was just scared,
so,
man. I thought you were talking about the fresh 15 dudes or something. Like I used to worry about when I was in school, about 15 dudes were freshmen I worried about. That's what you're saying, though.
Not quite.
Okay. Detroit boys, yeah. So, yeah, man, that's good. That's cool stuff, D-Lo, man. It's good hearing from you, man. That's great.
Thank you.
So you gonna come home or what? You can do that. Whatever you gotta do, you can do that from Anson County. Yeah, from Charlotte.
Right.
Well, Charlotte shut down. You don't want to come down here either. Either way, man, it's bad, man. Just
I heard,
stay
heard,
where you are. Stay put.
I heard
just stay put.
I heard North Carolina's of y'all further along than we are. But again, like I said, we're behind. So whatever y'all do, we'll be like, well, since North Carolina's doing it, we'll do it too then. So give us a week or two. Give us a week. We'll be just like y'all.
We're a little bit ahead of you. Okay.
All right.
I'm looking at the
good
map here, man. It doesn't look like we're in the same category. Maybe not. Well, D Lo, looks like our time's out, man. Very good hearing from you, man. Take care of yourself out there. Practice your social distancing and
most definitely
everything else that's required to get us all through this thing, man. And want everybody else out there to listen to, practice your social distancing. Just stay home. Let's just kind of ride this thing out and see what we can do to make sure we minimize the impact that it can have on us and our families. Okay?
Agreed.
Okay, everybody?
All right, D-Lo.
All right.
Bless you, D-Lo, man. We appreciate you calling in, man, because I was on the ride over there as you did.
I know.
All right. Tuesday, man.
That's next Tuesday, the 31st.
Yes, sir.
Well, Brady
Brother,
man,
is retiring. Brady Brother is retiring on Friday. Friday, isn't that?
Just jumped.
Huh?
It's a big party out of the question.
Yeah, man, get out of there, man.
Well, Saturday, we gotta throw a party, man. We gotta have a party. Both you guys.
Yeah, we gotta have a party, man. You know, once this virus thing is over, we're gonna throw down, brother.
There's gonna be parties all over the land.
We're gonna cut the monkey.
Party throughout the land. All right, man. I think I'm going to
stand the chance.
I'm going to jump back on this. Got to jump back on this pile of work, man. Got about another hour and a half, maybe, work I'm going to put in, and then I'm going to head on home.
Okay, brother. Be careful out there, man.
You be careful too, man.
Yes,
sir. Keep that safe business and all that good stuff, man. So y'all be safe.
I'm good, man.
All right. Later.
Yeah, man. You.